So a few months have gone by. It's still 2001. I've realised this is not Land of the Free and Home of the Brave. It's Sheffield. And 2001, thinking back, was a year in which every song was aiming to be a pop smash, but for credibility had a rapper on there. Or the other way around, a rapper was trying to do a pop smash that had some type of commercial vibe. So again, landing into a world where everything was ultra bright, neon and shiny, it was intense to see. Eve, Gwen Stefani, Let Me Blow Your Mind, a song that, thinking back, is nuts, that is nearly 20 years old. Afro Man, Because I Got High, hilarious, but that was a song that everyone sang, probably before they even realized what they were singing about. So Solid Crew, 21 Seconds. Anyone who knows me will know that was one of the first moments in which I attached myself to grime that was happening then. When I eventually reached the years in which I discovered grime music, or UK hip-hop at times, I was always playing catch-up. It was always retrospect, something that happened years ago that I was then discovering as part of my journey. But 21 Seconds and So Solid Crew in 2001, anyone who remembers me will know that was the first time buying and cherishing an album became a real thing. I lost the first copy of that album and I went back to Virgin Megastores to buy it again. D12 and Eminem was a big year. 2001, we saw Eminem in the same year give us Stan and Purple Pills. 2001 was a year in which no parent wanted their child to listen to Eminem. No child could go a day without listening to Eminem. He was somehow played on the radio, vilified in the news. It was then the litmus test to how dangerous and crazy rap will be for our generation. The generations before us had their Dr. Dre's and Snoop Dogg's, and they had Tupac and Biggie's and whatnot. Eminem was the litmus test for our generation as to, okay, rap is so dangerous and so bad, and it was an era in which we were about to approach, games are also bad for you, so we had the GTAs on their way. We already had a GTA but this time, but it's once we hit GTA 3 is when shit got real. That year we got Stan, we got, again, D12. It was the same year we got The Next Episode by Dr. Dre and Snoop. And the same year we got a classic, Busta Rhymes. I will never forget the moment I first heard this and I realized that hip-hop isn't always dark, angry, or overly polished. The energy that Busta Rhymes gave me and my cousins, if anyone was around to see that, or if my cousins are listening, this song is still a song we laugh at when it plays now. So, 2001, I began to learn that, okay, hip-hop isn't all ultra-aggressive or ultra-cheesy as what we saw before. There were the moments in which it can be positively energetic. Is that even a way to describe music? I'm going to do it. I'll stick to it. That was a summer in which you had to embrace all music. You couldn't avoid pop being the pop. I guess in 2001, pop music was popular music, because now it's not. Rap is popular music. But that was when pop music was pop music. We had Britney Spears' self-titled album. That was also a year in which it did not matter what genre you associated yourself to. There were songs and there were eras of that year that you could not avoid in any which way. They were albums. There was, again, Britney Spears' album. I'm going to continue to bounce off that one, because whatever music you listen to, however hard you are in your favorite genre, Britney Spears' album, and that self-titled album especially, gave us, I'm gonna have to run through. First song, I'm a Slave for You, produced by the Neptunes. Overprotected. I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman, classic. boys anticipating I Love Rock and Roll. All from the same album. No one really cared about awards then, but it was winning awards. It was getting top flight reviews. Hilariously, Rolling Stones gave it a 2.5 out of 5. The most pointless score ever. But anyone, whatever sense you are, knew how provocative. It's nuts to say this, because in 2001, we were soft. But I'm a Slave for You, great song. Neptune's production. In 2001, we were about to, or 2001, 2002, we were starting to see some insane Pharrell, Chad, Neptune stuff on its way. Interesting people who were credited for producing on this album. Darkchild, Timbaland is somewhere on this album. Justin Timberlake is somewhere on this album too. These are names which, again, in hip-hop in that era were undisputable. So, again, it's the insights in which even the biggest of the biggest pop music isn't necessarily pop music. Love to see it. What else was happening in my life of 2001? I realized that real winter was about to be a thing. 2001 was the year I got my first cold. And I'll never forget that near-death experience. It wasn't. As near-death experience as getting a cold at 9 years old can be. That winter was beginning of Apple and Music. And it's nuts to think that it started in 2001. But before then, we all had Windows Media Player. Well, to that point, we only had Windows Media Player. We only gave our computers all types of diseases, viruses, crashes, weird things from LimeWire, torrents, pick a torrent of your site. Actually, the only people I knew who torrented were what were computer nerds at the time. They were onto something. But October that year, we saw Apple release iTunes as a media player. And hilariously, following that, so iTunes was released and then the iPod was released. Before then, your phone did rated anything. Your phone did not do a thing. You could message. I don't even know if at that time your phone could open two apps at once. Anyway, iTunes came out and it became the first time people could begin to cherish a digital music library. I still remember myself going, 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying is too great to put into a DSP. Wait, that wasn't at that time. That was 2003. What albums did I have in 2001 apart from So Solid Crew? When did Sum 41 album come out? Question time. I'm going to have to find out. Sum 41, legendary album. I listened to fairly regularly. All Killer No Filler, 2001. I knew I was onto something. Again, listening to things that were so outside of the genre just for the sake of discovering music. I have no idea where I was when I learned about songs like Fat Lip. I don't know what I was doing. Actually, I know exactly what I was doing. I thought that was a summer where people were buying rollerblades and I was riding in circles in the street. I remember that. Wow, 2001. What else was happening in the year of 2001? City High, What Would You Do? Why were we as children in 2001 singing songs and rapping subject matter we had no business talking about? No wonder our parents were concerned. But City High, What Would You Do? Outkast, Mrs. Jackson. Now, Outkast, Mrs. Jackson had probably one of the biggest impacts of my love for music at that time, and probably one of the most seismic effect on my love of music. The waves of my love for that song have gone on for so long. To this day, Outkast are still one of the most artistic rap groups I have ever witnessed create music, in the sense of how simplistic they made it and how accessible they made being so creative. Phenomenal song. A song in which people who didn't like rap would mumble along until they shouted the hook. a song that would play in the most genre-breaking places. It's a song that you'd hear playing in, like, Pizza Hut when you walk in, some type of playlist, whatever they had going on in there. It's a song that you'd hear on MTV. I remember being sat upstairs watching MTV when the video for Miss Jackson came out. And it was completely by accident. Something that, again, I've always loved is the visuals that come with music. Anything from the album cover to the album art when you open the booklet to the, again, the rollout. Sometimes there is a visual rollout that goes with it. When, again, you've been seeing the images and the scenes and worlds that the likes of early Busta Rhymes was putting out, that Missy Elliott and Timbaland were putting out, that just becomes a part of the presentation. So when we watch the video and see Andre and Big Boi stood on top of that farmhouse and we see the things, the wind chimes spinning, and you hear the story presented to you in a way that is more than just, oh, they did really well at putting those words together in that way, or they did really well at making everyone sing this hook, which again, in itself, is musical genius. The way in which they grasped everyone for, I'm gonna have to find out, the way they grasped everyone for that 4 minutes and 58 seconds will forever be pure genius to me. Starts off with the car rolling in, we skip to the farmland, and again, in the scene that they create, they are still very much themselves. Big Boi's there with the jersey, Andre's wearing questionable but Confederate flag belt, and he's got the dog with him, no t-shirt, because Andre didn't own t-shirts in 2001. We have the cats, the dogs nodding along, which anyone who owns a dog will know how on earth do you make your dog nod along to a song like that? But we're working on it. We have Andre in the house. We have the owl singing along. We have the way every element of the video is somehow linked to the beat. So that just rides through the entire thing. Classic scene of the cat nodding its head along to the song. Everyone laughed at that moment. And the way in which the video just continues to cycle through. After 3 minutes of him cleaning his car, it starts to rain. And then we start to see the car set on fire and rain. The animals continue the link all the way through. This is the most basic dissection of a rap video. But we begin to see what was a beautiful scene fall apart bit by bit. Low key, you've got the American flag sideways and black and white behind 3K in the house. We have the roof leaking more and more. We have the house falling apart more and more. The animals remain constant through the entire video. Big Boi's on the roof trying to patch things up. The lights remain on. The video continues to give and give and give. And I remember watching this entire thing like a movie. And then right at the end, the sun shines. Everyone's looking up. It's still raining. The house is destroyed. But they're both smiling. And after everything, I remember watching that. Like, what a full circle they could make 5 minutes when we are so used to spending 2 hours watching something go full circle. It was one of those moments in which I remember going, that song became so much better once I had an insight into what, again, a video is always presented to you as what story is being told or how that is visually represented. Again, anyone who knows me will know that Outkast will forever stand on a pedestal as being the greats, not what they did, but what they were able to, the space they were able to create for anyone in and around music. Forever love Outkast for that one. Thank you for attending the Outkast TED Talk. One thing that I noticed, again, looking back to 2001, is Timbaland and Magoo. Timbaland had a weird start to music, which anyone who's interested, you will realize if you try and go beyond a certain year, it's almost impossible to find Timbaland songs. They are rarely in DSPs, and if they are in DSPs, they're in really weird, convoluted places. It's hard to find any of the Timbaland and Magoo mixtapes together unless you end up in the sketchy corners of the internet. But in that era, when you were hunting for great music, Timbaland and Magoo gave us some pretty good little gems that a lot of people may have completely forgotten. One that, looking back, I remember hearing and almost going over, well, it did go over my head, but I remember hearing Timbaland, Magoo, and Jay-Z. They had a couple of songs together. I say a couple, it might have been two or three, if that, in that era. But hearing 2001 Jay-Z, 2001 Timbaland and Magoo when they were wearing the matching jerseys and the blue. And this is what the music sounded like. Again, Timbaland's music became a whole era and world in itself. But hearing a young Jay-Z, for me at that age, was, very honestly, way over my head. I knew he was an amazing rapper. I knew what he did was phenomenal. I did not fully understand or grasp. Anyway, let me stop that before they cut me off the internet again. But 2001 was a year in which lots of the seeds were planted that started my complete obsession with the world of music, and especially the world of hip-hop. Everything was presented beautifully to us on TV, where MTV went from music video after music video and telling us the different genres. They started to introduce personalities and shows, and I spent so much of that winter in front of the TV, because I don't like going outside in winter, and I still don't, watching what was coming from our favorite global artists. The video for Purple Pills, I'll never forget the moment the light bulb went off when it changed from Purple Hills to me. I think I just turned on MTV past 9 o'clock. I'll never forget being able to rap every verse and word from the next episode, and that just being a thing between young rap fans, was that was the thing you could do. Stand by Eminem was something that you probably didn't listen to or play out loud, especially anywhere near our households, but it was an ode that, okay, Eminem at that age might have been the most insane, the most outer-worldly rapper that existed. Some people say he may not have aged well from that. That's a discussion I'll have another time. But that era of, it was, 2001 for me speaks of an era in which it's okay to be yourself, whether that be angry, loud, creative, visual, super, super energetic, contemplative, a storyteller, social commentary, political commentary, economic commentary. All of that began in hip-hop, and it felt like, because it was so young, in inverted commas, as a popular genre, people were still in their own bubbles of how they were doing that without having to be compared. People were not comparing Outkast Miss Jackson to Dr. Dre next episode. And in a world in which we're used to having to pick this or that right now, it was so nice that 2001 was a year in which I could absorb all of this and no one was judging or questioning my love for all of those things, yet still going to play Sum 41's album, still going to play all of the other great albums that I listen to, and being able to sing every word from most of the Britney album. 2001 was a good year. Going into 2002, God bless NERD.